content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Julie Eldridge from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'll be reading to you from the Lions District S newsletter for the months of January, February 2025. And this newsletter is typically rather long, so there are a few things that have been repeated over the months that I will put to the back of my list here. And if I get to them, great. If not, well, they were in last month's newsletter. So here we go. District 31S State District Dues for second half of 2024-2025. Lines of District 31S. This is a reminder to send in club dues for the second half of the district state dues for 2024-25 no later than March 10th of 2025. Club dues are $9 per member for each half of the Lions year, which is based on the number of members on file with Lions Clubs International as of December 31st, 2024. These dues are separate from LCI dues that are sent directly to LCI. Make checks payable to Lions District 31S and mail to, attention, PDG Lion Ron Beltran, Cabinet Treasurer, 7014 Wexford Woods Trail, Raleigh, North Carolina, 27613. Please write state/district dues on the memo line of your check. 2025 District N&S Midwinter Convention Food Drive. This is by Lion Bob Christensen, the District 31S Hunger Chairman. Thanks to the support of Lions from across Districts 31N and 31S, the annual food drive held during the 2025 Midwinter Convention in Greenville was successful. We collected more than 320 pounds of non-perishable food items, boiled water, and personal care items. I'm wondering whether that's bottled water. Anyway, I'll carry on. We also collected $350 in cash donations. The food drive supported service projects of the Food Bank of Central and Eastern North Carolina, established in 1980 as a 501c3 organization. The food bank was particularly in need of peanut butter, spices and seasonings, canned protein such as chicken, ham, pork, tuna, etc., personal care items such as toothpaste, toothbrushes, shampoo, conditioner, body wash, bar soap, deodorant, etc. And here we go again. It says, and boiled water, but perhaps that's bottled water. Lions donated these much-needed items and more. Personal care items cannot be purchased through the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, also known as SNAP. Atlantic Dentistry of Kildevil Hills, North Carolina, donated cases of toothpaste and toothbrushes. Check with your health care providers to see if they would be able to donate hygiene supplies. Cash collected is used to purchase fresh produce. Food insufficiency continues to be a problem throughout the state of North Carolina. It has a negative effect on children, adults, and seniors in our communities. Hunger is more than an empty stomach. Food insufficiency and hunger act as a barrier to employment, education, and medical care. Please mark your calendar for the 2025 North Carolina Lions State Convention being held April 11th through 13th, 2025, in Greensboro. Another food drive will be held to benefit the Greensboro Urban Ministry. Bring what food items you can and or donate whatever cash you are able. All donations will be gratefully accepted. NC Lions Kids Site Update by Brian Hoover, NCLF State Director, Vision Screenings Program. Greetings, fellow Lions. I wanted to take a minute to update the Lions of MD31 about North Carolina's vision screening programs, including where to find the latest information. These programs are available to all North Carolina Lions. Our Vision Screening Programs Committee, or KidSite/MSU, has been hard at work fine-tuning information about our KidSite program. You can find an updated list of documents, including our KidSite screening manual, and much more on our webpage at North Carolina Lions Foundation. And that's exactly how it's written, North Carolina Lions Foundation. You can access this webpage by opening a search engine and typing NCLF and look across the top of the page to Vision Screening Programs. Simply click on the Vision Screening Programs tab to see all the forms and documents that are available for both the KidSight and Mobile Screening Unit programs. We have updated many of our forms, so please take a look, as we want everyone to have access to the latest forms we have to offer. One of the latest additions is a document labeled Lions Screening Event Insurance. It explains how all Lions clubs should be obtaining this coverage for any Lions event. We highly recommend obtaining the insurance, as it is zero cost to your Lions club. We all pray that insurance is never needed, but it's better to have it and not need it, as to need it and not have it. It only takes a minute to fill out the form, and you can print off your certificate of insurance. Last but not least is a quick reminder to book your KidSight and MSU screenings as early as possible. This will help you secure the dates that you want for your events. We are currently booking screenings out as far as December 31st of 2026, so get your dates early before they're gone. Here's a note in memory of PDG Michael Mike Reed, December 12, 1943 to January 7, 2025. Michael Mike Reed, age 81, of Wilkesboro, passed away Tuesday, January 7, 2025 at Atrium Health Wake Forest Baptist in Winston-Salem. Mike was born on December 12, 1943 in Iredell County to Forrest Humphrey and Maddie Thomas Reed. Mike retired from Pet Dairy as operation manager with 40 years of service. He was a past member of the Wilkesboro Lions Club until it merged with the North Wilkesboro Lions Club, where he served as past district governor. He was on the Wilkesboro Town Planning Board. He was a past president of NC Dairy Tech, was on the board of directors for NC Dairy Foundations at NC State, and a 4-H national winner. He was a member of Wilkesboro United Methodist Church, where he served as a Sunday school teacher, chairman of the building committee, a member of the Council of Ministries, and co-chairman of NOW committee. Mike spent many miles on the Moo Moo Choo Choo, helping provide joy for the Special Olympics, as well as organize the Visual Impaired Persons / Blind Group of the Lions Club. Mike was preceded in death by his parents. Mike is survived by his wife of 58 years, Antha Ellen Church Reed of the home, daughter Roxanne Reed of Atlanta, Georgia, son Keith Reed and wife Allison of Wilkesboro, his faithful companion Roscoe the Rescue, sister Kay Wright of Statesville, brother Tim Reed and wife Carol of Statesville, as well as many nieces and nephews. Flowers will be accepted, or memorials may be made, to the North Wilkesboro Lions Club at 264 Pine Hill Drive, Millers Creek, North Carolina, 28651, or St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital at 501 St. Jude Place, Memphis, Tennessee, 38105. It is with a heavy heart that we announce the passing of Lion Troy Kroom of the Raleigh Southeast Lions Club. The viewing service was held on Friday, February 7, 2025, from 5 to 7 p.m. at Chapel's Funeral and Cremation at 555 Creech Road, Garner, North Carolina. A memorial service was held at 11 a.m. on Saturday, February 8, 2025, at St. Matthew's Baptist Church at 5410 Lewisburg Road, Raleigh, North Carolina. In memory of PDG Hoyle Eugene Little, December 27, 1936 to February 11, 2025. Hoyle Eugene Little, 88, of Stanfield, passed away Tuesday, February 11, 2025, at Trinity Place in Albemarle. Hoyle was born December 27, 1936, in Stanfield, North Carolina, to the late William Lester Little and the late Ona Love Little. He was also preceded in death by wife Elizabeth Wall Little, son Robert Bobby Michael Little, brothers Robert Lee Little and William Keith Little, and special friend Sue Smith Morgan. Hoyle was an amazing husband, father, dad-dad, and great-dad-dad. He was a godly man who loved his church, family, America, the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, and the Lions Clubs. Hoyle was a member of the West Stanley Lions Club and had served as past district governor in North Carolina Multiple District 31. He also held the highest award given to a Lion, the Melvin Jones Fellow. After graduating Stanfield High School in 1955, he served in the Air National Guard and attended the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Hoyle was employed by Western Electric, Burroughs Corporation, or Unisys, Lennox China, and later retired as a consultant in the technology field. Hoyle was a man of faith, and although his passing will be felt by all, we can all find comfort in knowing that he is now with his Lord and Savior. Survivors include daughter Elizabeth, Beth, and Tim Harrell of Little Bowen of Cary. Elizabeth, Beth, Little Bowen of Cary, husband Tim, grandsons Taylor Van and wife Erica Bowen of Wilmington, North Carolina, and Carson Stewart with wife Hannah Smith Bowen of Savannah, Georgia, and an awesome great-grandson, Banks Banning Bowen of Wilmington, North Carolina, sister-in-law Alma Green Little, and many beloved nieces and nephews. Donations may be made to First Baptist Church of Stanfield at P.O. Box 279, Stanfield, North Carolina, 28163, and or to Lions Club International Foundation at 300 West 22nd Street, Oak Brook, Illinois, 60523-8842. The family would like to extend their deepest gratitude to all the friends, family, and most recently, the caring staff at Trinity Place for all that they have done for Hoyle and his family. Hartzell Funeral Home of Midland is serving the Little family. The family will receive friends from 1 to 2:15 p.m. on Saturday, February 15th at First Baptist Church of Stanfield. The funeral service will follow at 2:30 p.m., officiated by Reverend Bruce League. Interment will follow at the First Baptist Church of Stanley Cemetery, located at North Carolina Highway 200 in Stanfield. Here's a notice about Boys and Girls Home of North Carolina Lions Day and Duck Race. The Boys and Girls Home of North Carolina will celebrate Lions Day on Saturday, May 10th, 2025, beginning at 9 a.m. The event will be held at the Boys and Girls Home of North Carolina, located at 400 Flemington Drive at Lake Waccamaw. More information will be posted as it becomes available. There will be a rubber duck race on Wednesday, September 10th, 2025, at Jungle Rapids Family Fun Park in Wilmington. Proceeds from ticket sales will go towards the purchase of a van for the Lions Cottage Boys. Lion Scott Stevenson will send out more information soon. Our Roots Are in Apex by John Lind. Our roots are in Apex. That is the clever tagline for the Apex Gardening Club. At a recent meeting, our guest speaker was Sandra Gudenkoff, and she shared some history, stories, and lots of photos from the club. Sandra used the events of a typical year in the club to share the things they do and sprinkled in some stories about members and her own life experiences as well. Throughout the year, they have various speakers on a number of topics around plant propagation, growing plants, bees or pollinators, and other gardening-related subjects. In October, they have a plant exchange amongst the members. In December, there's a Christmas party, of course. January begins the winter seeding activities using milk jugs or restaurant clamshells. In April, the plant sale takes place over 2 weekends at the farmers market. This is their primary fundraiser, where they have sold more than 3,000 plants in the past few years. The best part may be that the funds go to support grants to Apex Schools for gardening projects, the Susan B. Komen Breast Cancer Foundation, Book Bag Buddies, and several other philanthropic causes. There might even be a possibility of teaming up with the Apex Lions Club for an event in the future. The year ends with an annual luncheon, new member greet, and planning session for the next year. We learned that the Apex Depot Garden and planters are maintained by the Apex Garden Club. The birdhouse was handmade by one of the club members' husbands, too. They are a relatively small but fun group of between 10 to 20 people, and the dues are $25 per year. If you want to learn more about the Apex Garden Club, visit www.apexgardenclub.com. And there's a lovely picture of Sandra Gudenkauf giving her presentation to the Lions. Apex Lions Club achieves top dog status again, by Lion John Lind. Leader Dogs for the Blind awarded the Apex Lions Club top dog club status for 2024-25. Following is an excerpt from the letter accompanying the award. Dear Apex Lions Club, what a year it has been so far. Thanks to your unwavering dedication, Leader Dogs for the Blind has achieved incredible milestones. Today, I'm thrilled to celebrate your club's ascent to the prestigious top dog status. Your commitment has not only earned you a digital badge to utilize on your social pages or website, but also a heartfelt thank you video from two of our Leader Dogs for the Blind clients, Lion Joey with Leader Dog Tucker and Lion Walker with Leader Dog Loki. As we recognize your club's extraordinary efforts, please know that every contribution brings us closer to a world where people who are blind or visually impaired can thrive. With your help, we are able to ensure that Leader Dog can continue to guide their companions towards a future filled with independence and confidence. Thank you for your remarkable contribution and becoming a top dog club for the 2024-2025 fiscal year. And then the article includes a link to Lion Joey and Lion Walker's thank you video. They also posted the announcement on Facebook, along with a few other Lions clubs who achieved this goal. This is just one way that we as Lions can make a difference in people's lives. In memory of Dr. Marshall Sims Redding, October 14, 1934 to January 20, 2025. Dr. Marshall Sims Redding, born October 14, 1934, passed away on January 20, 2025 at Cone Health Wesley Long Hospital after a brief illness. He was 90 years old. A native of Guilford County, he was the son of the late Herbert Monroe Redding and Ernestine Folgham Redding, and the youngest of their seven children. He graduated from McLeansville High School in 1953 and then attended Duke University from 1954 to 58 with a major in chemistry. While at Duke, he met Bobby Newman, who was studying at UNC Chapel Hill, and they married on June 2, 1957. In April 1958, he joined the Navy Aviation Cadet Program in Pensacola, Florida, and in December 1959 was assigned to Fleet Air Wing 14 at San Diego, California, supporting the mission to guard the southern sector and west coast. By 1962, he was a Navy lieutenant with two young children when he was accepted at Duke University Medical School. He graduated in 1966. He completed his internship at the U.S. Naval Hospital in Portsmouth, Virginia, and a residency in ophthalmology at the U.S. Naval Hospital in Philadelphia and at Wills Eye Hospital. In January 1969, Lieutenant Commander Redding transferred to the U.S. Naval Hospital in Long Beach, California, where he specialized in cataract procedures and developed a love of medical innovation. He studied under pioneer Dr. Hirschman to perform intraocular surgery, and with Dr. Siniski on one-hand phacoemulsification, another procedure to simplify cataract surgery. He brought these pioneering techniques with him when he set up his own practice in September of 1971 in Elizabeth City, North Carolina, where he was the only ophthalmologist in a 10-county area in the northeastern North Carolina. He worked with their Lions clubs to purchase and outfit a special order mobile van to provide state-of-the-art medical eye care to their underserved communities. Dr. Redding took on leadership roles locally and statewide while expanding his practice. He was the first doctor to be appointed to the Albemarle Hospital Board of Trustees in Elizabeth City in 1974 and was chairman from 1979 to 1985, expanding into the Outer Banks to create a regional medical center for Northeast North Carolina. He also continued to serve in the Navy Reserves and was promoted to captain in January of 1981 when he assumed command of the medical contingency response at Little Creek, Virginia, until he retired from the Navy in September of 1983. He was elected president of the North Carolina Ophthalmological Society in 1981 and president of the North Carolina Medical Society in 1982 to 83. In 1983, he married Alice Meads Chapel, who supported him as he was expanding his practice in the region. At the peak of his practice, Dr. Redding and Alice were living on the beautiful Pasquotank River with her three children and running offices in Elizabeth City, Edenton, Killdevil Hills, and one in Norfolk, Virginia. He was still flying light aircraft and even trained to fly a Robinson R-22 helicopter, which he used to fly to his offices. In November of 2011, Dr. Redding relocated to the Gibsonville, Burlington, North Carolina area, where he rekindled his cooking and gardening hobbies. He also continued working with other ophthalmology practices until he suffered a major stroke in 2013. In retirement, he wrote his memoirs and continued to teach and lecture locally until his death. Survivors include his first wife, Bobby Redding, married from 1957 to 81, and their two daughters, Joan Redding in Greenall, husband Matthew and children Aiden and Laura, Rebecca Redding Green and husband Paul, second wife Alice Redding, married 1983 to 2008, and stepchildren Chap, Tangie, and Kimberly and their families, nieces and nephews Richard Redding, Joyce Wilkie, Joe Redding, Robert Redding, Darlene Redding, and Jim Crook and their families. The family would like to acknowledge his many friends and neighbors at Abbey Glen and Holiday Cedar Ridge, who made the final chapters of his life such a joy. They shared his love of cooking, gardening, and enabled him to continue both, even after his stroke. A funeral service was held at 11 a.m. on Friday, January 24th, 2025, in the chapel at Lowe Funeral Home, with Reverend Jeff Hill officiating. The entombment followed in the Alamance Memorial Park Mausoleum. The family received friends from 10 a.m. to 10:45 a.m. prior to the service at the funeral home. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made to support the Wounded Warrior Project or the Gary Sinise Foundation. In memory of Gail E. Sinesso, March 24, 1947 to February 7, 2025. Lion Gail E. Sinesso, a dedicated advocate for dementia care and community volunteer, passed away peacefully on February 7, 2025. She was 77 years old. The First Flight Lions hosted a memorial service celebrating the life of Lion Gail Sinesso on February 13, 2025 at 3 p.m., beginning with a short prayer service followed by an opportunity for fellowship. The first will be held at the First Flight Lions Club at 2706 North Croatan Highway in Killdevil Hills, North Carolina. Gail was a true people person, who cherished gatherings with friends and family. Born in New York City, Gail earned a B.A. in psychology from CUNY's York College in 1990 and an M.S. in rehabilitation counseling and vocational evaluation from East Carolina University in 1997. As founder and executive director of GEM Adult Day Services Incorporated, Gail was a tireless advocate for dementia awareness and education. She organized support groups, conferences, and workshops, and collaborated with various community organizations to provide resources and services to those affected by dementia. Gail's dedication to her community extended beyond her work with GEM. She was an active member of the First Flight Lions Club and served as president of the Nags Head Lions Club in 2016 and 2017. She was also a charter member of the Healthy Carolinians Task Force and sat on the Dare County Nursing Home Advisory Board and the Elder Abuse Committee. Gail's contributions to dementia care were recognized by the Dare County Board of Commissioners in 2018. She was also nominated for and presented with the 2021 Governor's Volunteer Service Award. Gail is survived by her husband, Angelo, her son, Greg Hayen, her brother, Glenn Grondahl, her sisters, Lynn D. Palma and Laura Grondahl, and countless friends and community members whose lives she touched. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made to GEM Adult Day Services Incorporated or the Susan K. Preston Memorial Scholarship. In memory of Donald Fred Torno, Jr., October 19, 1952 to December 25, 2024. Donald Fred Torno, Jr., known to all as Fred, passed away peacefully at home in Brigaw, North Carolina on December 25, 2024, at the age of 72. Born in Fayetteville, North Carolina in 1952 to Donald Fred Torno and Jean Curry Barnes Torno, Fred lived a rich and multifaceted life filled with creativity, dedication, and love. Fred was an artist and craftsman with an incredible range of talents. He engaged deeply with the world around him, capturing his unique perspective through photography, drawing, and painting. He also created fine leather goods and woodcrafts, including his signature wood and slate turkey calls. In later years, he built his own forge and taught himself the art of knife making, a testament to his boundless curiosity and skill. In 1971, Fred enlisted in the North Carolina Army National Guard and was honorably discharged in 1977 with the rank of sergeant. Fred attended Methodist University, then transferred and graduated from North Carolina State University in 1974. In 1975, he married his high school sweetheart, Cheryl Matthews Torno, beginning a lifelong partnership grounded in love and mutual respect. Together, they built a family and a life that took them from farming in Fayetteville, North Carolina, to Charlotte, North Carolina, where Fred began a 40-year career in industrial maintenance. He first worked at Dixie Reel and Box Company in Charlotte, and later at Wilmington Box Hood Container in Brigaw, North Carolina. Fred's deep connection to nature defined much of his life. A great lover of the outdoors, he spent years hunting deer and turkey before turning to nature photography and honing his turkey calling skills. Upon moving to Brigaw, Fred embraced life on the water, exploring the Black River and Northeast Cape Fear River by boat. Fred's compassion and generosity extended beyond his family. He was deeply involved in his community, serving as both president and treasurer of the Brigaw Lions Club, a local chapter of Lions Club International. His philosophical nature and innate kindness made him a beloved mentor and teacher to his family and those who worked or served with him, continuing the legacy of the educators in his family. Fred is survived by his wife, Cheryl Matthews Torno, his children, Justin Torno and Matthew Torno, his daughter-in-law, Kelly Quick Torno, and his cherished grandchildren, Anson and August. He is also survived by his two beloved sisters, Jeannie Torno Honeycutt and Elizabeth Lee Torno Moore, with husband Steve Moore, sister-in-law and brother-in-law, Sharon Matthews Jackson and Michael Jackson, brother-in-law, Peyton Matthews, and his much-loved nieces and nephews who shared in Fred's life and memories. Fred joins those in peace who passed before him, his parents Don and Jean, father-in-law and mother-in-law Anson Mack and Pearl Page Matthews, sister-in-law Carmen Matthews, and brother-in-law James Hunnicutt. A graveside memorial service was held in his honor at 1 p.m. on February 9, 2025, at Maxwell Cemetery in Autryville, North Carolina. Fred's family invites those who knew him to join in celebrating his life and reflecting on the many ways he touched the lives of others. The family also wishes to thank Gwyn McGowan for their care and assistance during this difficult time. Celebrate Earth Day, April 22nd. To celebrate Earth Day, explore our environment service ideas, set a date for your service project, and invite people in your community to join you in celebrating Earth Day and protecting our planet. Worldwide Induction Day is April 26th. Welcome, new lions. Worldwide Induction Day is an exciting global membership celebration held annually on the last Saturday in April to unite clubs around the world in welcoming new members. While this year has been a year like no other, many clubs and districts have been successful in forming new clubs and recruiting new members. Let's celebrate that accomplishment on April 26th of 2025 together on Worldwide Induction Day. Apex Lions Make First Donation of 2025 by Lion John Lind. We made our first donation of the year to providing snacks for the underprivileged students at Olive Chapel Elementary School. Without our support, many students of low-income families would not be able to eat a snack when other students purchase one. We also provide this service to Salem Elementary School. Here is a page that's full of tables summarizing the fundraising efforts so far, year to date. And I'm just going to boil them down to a couple of the highlighted numbers. So here we go. Brighter Visions Fund Drive. The goal for 2024-25 is $565,000. So the total so far as of January 30th, 2025, of $247,609 has been raised. And the difference that then means that you've raised $318,196 for a percentage of your goal of 44%. Pardon me. Last year to date's total was $307,733 at this point, meaning that this year you're down $60,000 from last year's fundraising at this date. Camp Dogwood raffle for 2024-25. That's $50 per member is the goal. So far, raffle sales year to date has been $42,583. And that comes out to an average so far of 0.95 books per member. And sales last year at this point was $127,893, meaning the difference from last year is $85,385 less than this year. I mean, this year is less than last year. All right. So, memorials and honorariums of 2024-25. The 2024-25 goal is $30,000. Year to date, $12,059 has been raised. Last year at this date, it was $10,062, so it's up $2,000 at this point from last year. And lastly, clinical eye research fundraising of 2024-25. The goal this year was $20,000. The clubs so far have raised $5,905. Last year, at this point, it was $5,353. And there's an average contribution of $5.24 so far per member. Here's an invitation. You are invited to the 75th anniversary celebration of the Wendell Lions Club. This will occur on Saturday, February 22nd of 2025. It starts at 6:30 p.m. with a social, and then at 7 p.m. there's a dinner. Wendell Lions, 700 Lions Club Road in Wendell, North Carolina. And it's a 1950s throwback attire or business attire. The cost is $35 per person. You need to please RSVP by February 15th of 2025. And you can you have two payment options. You can make a check payable to Wendell Lions Club and mail it to Wendell Lions Club, P.O. Box 1282, Wendell, North Carolina, 27591. You can give it to any Wendell Lions Club member, or you can pay online using PayPal. And there follows an application for the purchase of tickets for this event. Meet the first leader dog puppies of 2025. The first leader dog puppies of 2025 are here. Born on January 7th, 2025, this adorable litter of three puppies marks an exciting milestone for Leader Dogs for the Blind and the dedicated volunteers who help bring these dogs into the world. This year's first litter comes from Leader Dog Mom Winnie and Leader Dog Dad Van Gogh. The puppies, temporarily named Piglet, Tigger, and Kanga by their breeding host family, have already begun to show their unique personalities, and their arrival is a testament to the dedication and hard work of the breeding host volunteers who help make all this possible. In this post, we'll take you behind the scenes to meet Colleen, a leader dog volunteer, who stepped up to host Winnie and her newborn litter. Meet Winnie's breeding host volunteer, Colleen. Colleen's journey with Leader Dog began a few years ago after her daughter, Lily, developed a deep passion for animals. Lily dreamt of becoming a veterinarian from the time she was five. Their first exposure to Leader Dog was at a local fair, where Lily saw a volunteer with several puppies. Her immediate reaction was a plea to become a puppy raiser, even making a PowerPoint presentation to support her case, and after a year of research and preparation, the family joined the program. In February of 2024, Colleen's family raised leader dog Willa, and the experience was so rewarding that when Willa returned for formal training, their home felt empty. That's when they decided to take the next step, hosting a breeding stock dog. Colleen, a midwife, and Lily, with her veterinary aspirations, felt this role would be a perfect fit for their family. The birth of Winnie X. Van Gogh's litter. A story of patience and determination. Winnie, a first-time mother, was due to give birth to her puppies, and Colleen was ready to support her through the process. Winnie had only three puppies, and they were given names in the Winnie the Pooh theme: Piglet, a female black Labrador wearing a pink collar, Tigger, male black Labrador wearing an orange collar, and Kanga, female black Labrador wearing a purple collar. From the moment Winnie's temperature dropped, indicating that labor could be on its way, Colleen, Lily, and Lily's best friend Kay were on high alert. As the day wore on, they monitored Winnie closely. By the evening, she began nesting and exhibiting signs of labor. Colleen, Lily, and Katie took turns helping Winnie through the night, offering support and ensuring she was comfortable. As midnight approached, Winnie's labor began to intensify, and Piglet was born at 1:45 a.m. Thinking back on the moment Winnie became a mom, Colleen says, "This mama knew just what to do. It was so beautiful to watch her instincts kick in." A few hours later, the second puppy, Tigger, joined the world. While waiting for the last puppy to be born, Colleen consulted with the leader dog veterinary team, and it was decided to deliver the last puppy through C-section. At 7 a.m., once Winnie arrived at the leader dog vet clinic, the veterinary team worked quickly, and after a tense wait, Colleen received the call she'd been hoping for. Both mom and puppy Kanga were doing great. Colleen's emotional reaction to the news was overwhelming. This journey, marked by a mix of exhaustion and ultimate joy, highlighted the emotional highs and lows that come with being a breeding host volunteer. The puppies' personalities shine. Winnie's puppies are thriving. Each one already has a distinctive personality. Piglet, the firstborn, has always been the overachiever of the bunch. She's ahead in weight, walking, and even barking. Piglet is confident and curious, showing strong leadership qualities from day one. Tigger, the easygoing pup of the group, Tigger is calm and relaxed. He's a little more laid back than his sisters, but his quiet demeanor makes him incredibly lovable. Colleen has to keep a close eye on him to make sure he doesn't get pushed off his spot at the milk bar. Kanga, the last to be born, but is proving to be the most vocal, always making sure her presence is known. She's a fighter and is quickly asserting herself. Why volunteering as a breeding host is so rewarding. For Colleen and her family, hosting a leader dog mom has been an incredibly rewarding experience. I also have a 10-year-old, and I cannot speak enough at how rewarding this experience has been for my kids, Colleen shares. They will remember this experience for the rest of their lives, and that brings me incredible joy to see how enriched our lives are because of our ability to volunteer with leader dog. Volunteering with Leader Dog is more than just caring for puppies. It's about giving back to a community that is making a huge difference in the lives of people who are blind or low vision. Colleen is proud to be part of this life-changing process and encourages others to get involved. For anyone considering volunteering as a breeding host, I say go for it, she says. It's such an amazing emotional journey, and it's something you'll never forget. The arrival of Winnie and Van Gogh's litter is just the beginning of an exciting year for leader dogs for the blind. These little puppies will grow up to be trained as potential guide dogs, and with the support of volunteers like Colleen, they will eventually help individuals lead independent, fulfilling lives. If you're interested in learning more about the Breeding Host Volunteer Program or want to get involved with Leader Dogs for the Blind, don't hesitate to reach out. By giving a small part of your time and care, you can make a huge impact on the lives of others. And this article is accompanied by adorable pictures of the three puppies and Colleen and Lily, and it's just cuteness overload, as they say. The 2025-26 International Peace Poster Contest. For more than three decades, Lions Clubs around the globe have been sponsoring a very special art contest in schools and youth groups. Creating peace posters gives children everywhere the chance to express their visions of peace and inspire the world through art and creativity. The theme for 2025-2026 is Together as One. When we come together, we can do amazing things. This year, we're inviting students around the world to envision what can happen when a diverse group of people unites around a common cause or goal. Imagine a world where we all come together as one. Students ages 11, 12, or 13, as of November 15th, are eligible to participate in the International Peace Poster Contest. Entries not meeting the following deadlines will be disqualified. Clubs can purchase digital or physical kits through October 1st of 2025 from the Club Supplies Sales Department at International Headquarters. So here are the deadlines. November 15th. Postmark deadline for a club to send one winning poster per contest sponsored to the district governor. December 1st, postmark deadline for a district governor to send one winning district poster to multiple district council chairperson. Postmark deadline for a district governor not belonging to a multiple district to send one winning poster to the brand and creative department at an international headquarters. And this is also the postmark deadline for a club not belonging to a district to send one winning entry to the brand and creative department at individual headquarters, international headquarters. December 15th is the deadmark for the postmark deadline for the multiple district council chairperson to send one winning poster to the brand and creative department at international headquarters. February 1st is the deadline for international winners to be notified on or before that date. And now available, the Digital Peace Poster Kit. Get immediate access to all kit components via email and download and print the digital kit to save shipping fees. Each digital kit contains a downloadable official club contest guide and rules, downloadable official school or youth group contest guide and rules, downloadable participant flyer to print and give to participating students to take home, and digital certificates to print for contest winner and school or youth group. Each physical kit contains official club contest guide and rules, official school or youth group contest guide and rules, participant flyer to duplicate and give to participating students to take home, a sticker to place on the back of the winning poster, and certificates for contest winner and school or youth group. Here is an ad form to have an ad in the program for the 2025 North Carolina Lions Council State Convention. Serving through adversity. This will happen April 10th through 13th of 2025 at the Greensboro High Point Airport Marriott in Greensboro, North Carolina. Thank you for your support of the North Carolina Lions of Multiple District 31. And the following is the costs for ads in the program for the state convention. The ad deadline is February 15th of 2025. The back cover cost is $1,500. Inside cover is $1,000. A full page ad, which is 8.5 by 11, is $300. Half page $150. Quarter page $100. And a business card size ad will be $50. Here's a notice from the North Carolina Lions Foundation for Camp Dogwood. They're having spring maintenance days and eyeglass sorting, and this will happen April 3rd through April 9th of 2025. And they offer overnight accommodations. This form has a checkbox for that request. And this says, list the task you feel you can assist with. You will be contacted if we have questions. Examples, painting, mulching, washing fence, pressure washing concrete walks, sand and refinish or repair rockers, minor electrical, and window washing, eyeglass sorting, minor housekeeping, and kitchen duties. And so the meals on from the 4th to the 9th on from the 3rd to the 9th on April 3rd, they are offering a dinner. And then from the 4th through the 8th, they offer breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And on the 9th, they offer dinner. So these have check boxes for whether you want a meal or not. And this form needs to be completed and mailed to April George of the North Carolina Lions Foundation, P.O. Box 39, Sherrill's Ford, North Carolina, 28673. Or you can email a scanned copy of this form to april@nclf.org. There is also a form included in this newsletter to attend the North Carolina Lions Council State Convention. North Carolina Lions Strong, Serving Through Adversity. So again, the convention, state convention, will be held April 11th through 13th of 2025 at the Greensboro High Point Airport Marriott in Greensboro, North Carolina. And it will be on Friday. There will be a fun night, which the cost for attending will be $20. Saturday, April 12th, a tail twister breakfast with live auction starts at 8 a.m., and that's $20. Governor's banquet that night from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. is $40. And then on the 13th, there's going to be a general session at 8:30 a.m. and the district cabinet meetings. Also, the room reservations can be made at Greensboro High Point Marriott at 1 Marriott Drive in Greensboro. Lions room rate is $129 plus tax and service charge, and that's good until March 26th of 2025. And they have a link where you can make room reservations, or you can call 1-888-236-2427 and request the rate for North Carolina Lions State Convention. During this convention, there is going to be the North Carolina Lions State Golf Tournament on Friday, April 11th. It's $60 per player. It includes lunch. You can buy a mulligan for $5. There's a two per person max. Tee off is at approximately 10 a.m. And all proceeds are going to LCIF for the Hurricane Helene Relief Disaster Fund. Prizes will be presented Friday evening during the convention's Friday Fun Night. You can make checks payable to NCPDGO and mail the completed form and payment to PDG David Smoot, 105 Circle Drive, Thomasville, North Carolina, 27360. Or email csmoot at triad.rr.com or call 336-991-8731. Here is a notice for the 2024-2025 second half of district state dues. These are due no later than March 10th of 2025, and so the invoice lists the amount due, the number of members reported to LCI as of 12/31/24 times 9. That's how much will be due. Note, these dues are separate from Lions Club's international dues, which are sent directly to LCI. So this form allows you to make a check payable to Lions District 31S and write state or district dues on the memo line and send to Attention PDG Lion Ron Beltran, Treasurer, 7014 Wexford Woods Trail, Raleigh, North Carolina, 27613. Join us in celebrating 85 years from the start in 1939 by three visionary members of the Uptown Lions Club of Detroit. Donate $25 and receive a limited edition Leader Dogs for the Blind 85th anniversary pin. In 1925, Helen Keller challenged Lions to become Knights of the Blind and the Crusade Against Darkness. 13 years later, Lions Charles A. Nutting, Donald P. Schur, and S.A. Dodge led the Uptown Lions Club of Detroit in establishing a school to train guide dogs for people who are blind. Their motivation was Dr. Glenn Wheeler, a fellow Uptown Lion, whose attempts to be accepted by another guide dog organization proved unsuccessful. This year, Leader Dogs for the Blind celebrates 85 life-changing years in partnership with Lions Everywhere. And I'm getting close to the end of the time that I have. I'm going to try to read one more article, and hopefully I'll finish. If not, I'll just have to say goodbye a little bit too soon. North Carolina Lions Education Grant Program. North Carolina Lions Incorporated recognizes the need for education beyond a high school diploma. Further education is necessary for an individual to be competitive in today's job market. With the rising cost of education, many visually impaired parents find it difficult to fund the total cost of their children's education. The North Carolina Lions Education Grant Program was created to provide funding for these individuals. Grants up to $1,500 per year are available to sighted children of blind or visually impaired parents. Grants will be awarded based on the economic need of the family and the scholastic record and character of the applicant. Applications and all required information must be received in the North Carolina Lions, Inc. office by March 31st of 2025. The North Carolina Lions, Inc. will make the check payable to the college designated by the recipient. The check will be applied to the recipient's college expenses. In the event the recipient drops out of school, any unused balance will be returned to the North Carolina Lions, Inc. No funds will be made available for studies beyond a bachelor's degree. Here's the eligibility. To be eligible for an educational grant, the family income of the applicant cannot exceed the following amounts. One dependent child, $40,000 annually. For two dependent children, $50,000 annually. Three dependent children, $60,000 annually. Four dependent children, $70,000 annually. And $10,000 will be added to the family income for each additional dependent child. The unencumbered assets of the family, including stocks and bonds, shall not exceed $75,000. Personal real estate is excluded. And here's some required information. A completed application, a scholastic information including class rank, SAT score, and GPA, a character references, letters, minimum of two, certification of parents' visual impairment, a letter of acceptance from a college, community college, trade, or technical school. Request may be approved subject to receipt of acceptance letter. Current year tax return and statement of assets. And the approval involves if an applicant is accepted in a community college, trade, or technical, or a four-year college, and the above requirements have been met, the student will automatically be eligible and can be approved by the educational grant coordinator. Should an applicant not meet the requirements listed above, the Blind and Sight Service Committee or the Executive Committee would have to approve the applicant. Information about renewal. Once awarded, educational grants may be renewed year by year, contingent upon the recipient making passing grades with an overall average of 2.0 on his academic courses. Students are required to carry a minimum of 12 semester or 15 quarter hours to be eligible for renewal. The Sight Conservation and Services for the Blind Committee, on an individual basis, will give special circumstances consideration for approval. Grants may be renewed 4 times. If a student drops out of school for less than one scholastic year due to qualifying circumstances, that student will be eligible for additional grant monies upon written request to North Carolina Lions, Incorporated, stating the reason for dropping out of school. Qualifying circumstances will include family emergency, legitimate long-term illness of the student, accidental injury, or financial need requiring full-time employment by the student to pay tuition or school expenses. Students who have been out of classes for more than a year will be required to make a new application for the grant. Written explanation of the reasons for stopping studies will be required with the application. In addition, the student must have met all previously outlined criteria to renew the grant. If the student is approved for continuation of the grant, the student will receive the balance of renewals not previously used. And I might have a minute to describe a few of the images that were in this newsletter, photo highlights from the 2025 district 31N and 31S Midwinter Convention include a glorious picture of some Lions with the Peace Poster Contest winner for this year and some other award winners, and they're wearing white jackets with black bow ties, very spiffy. And there's a photo of some folks in the front of the room with golden capes on. Not sure what that is, but here we go. There's the end of our newsletter. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Julie Eldridge, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for the print and visually impaired audience. The Lion Newsletter is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. Again, that's 919-832-5138. And we thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.